Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All righty, hour number two, we're coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Wednesday, March 13, 2019. Conference tourney is underway. ACC's happening right now. Pac-12's today as well. Big East tonight. Double buys for all the big teams in the ACC. They have the two buys, so Tiki's Cavs off a few days.
Yep.
My Johnny's going tonight. We're obviously all over that. Quinnen Williams is going to be on the show tomorrow. Look forward to that from the draft. And Tiki is out. You're doing the Vassar. Yeah. Are you playing in the – you're actually playing the Vassar Pro-Am?
No, I'm playing in the – yeah, in the Pro-Am on Monday.
You are playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you hit a ball since the end of last season? Not even once?
Maybe the Vassar last year.
See, this is the
difference. No, that's not true. I went to the driving range with the boys.
Oh, you told me that. You went to Topgolf.
Yeah,
Topgolf. In Edison, New Jersey,
exactly.
Right? This is the difference, quickly, before we get to Le'Veon Bell, between you and I.
If you were doing this, you'd be on the range.
But yes, but I would.
Every day for the last 2 months.
But it would do more damage because I would corkscrew myself into oblivion.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I would be so hell-bent on trying to play well that I would ruin myself.
Yeah, you're right.
This guy's going to show up with no expectations and probably pipe a few right down the chute.
You will.
That's what's going to happen.
Because you make yourself not care, it always goes easier in golf. Because that way, if you do suck, you don't care.
Exactly. Okay, let's get to Bell. Listen, I really in my heart, we've got a clip from last Super Bowl, not the one that just passed, Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. We'll play it for you in a second. I always thought, looking ahead and not knowing at that point he would sit out the season, clearly, I always thought my Jets had a real shot to get him.
Yeah.
As the field was narrowed, and I mean recently in the past 2 or 3 months, I was worried about the Colts, although we've always referenced Marlon Mack's ascension. Didn't think it was necessary. But they have a ton of cap space. I was a little bit worried about them. I was a little worried about the Raiders, but as we discussed, the liquid nature, their quote-unquote lack of funds and needing to have the ability to put the signing bonus in escrow.
Yep.
Tegan and I have spoken about that as well. The thought was they might not have that, so I wasn't totally terrified about the Raiders. I was worried about the Ravens a bit, although when our guy JLC, Jason Lockenfora, who is from Baltimore, when he continuously tweets out Ravens aren't really interested, despite a lot of other reports, that obviously calmed my nerves. I really thought the Jets would get him. I did. I thought they'd pay him more money, which I'm obviously thrilled about.
Yeah.
He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's fresh. He's motivated. He's got amazing hands. He's going to really condense the learning curve for Sam Darnold. And you got to remember this. I know he's 27, but I think he's really more like 25 because we talk about playing no games this past year.
Yeah.
He only played 6 games back in 2015 as well.
You're right.
This is a grand slam home run for a team that usually only hits doubles.
Yeah, for the Jets, this is enormous because he's a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great locker room guy, too. Guys love him, even when he wasn't around. They wanted to still love him in Pittsburgh. Remember this last year?
Yeah, until they took his stuff and they looted his locker.
Until it got to the point where he wasn't going to show up,
right?
Until he was not.
They always had his back.
He had his back. Yep. And then when he basically bailed on him, they're like, all right, screw you.
Right? Yeah, that will grab your kicks.
Right. But so I think they liked him. He's obviously a great player on the field. We've seen his unique style. But the reason and the bigger story here, BT, is that he held out for a reason. The running back market for salary acceleration has been so stagnant. I mean, it was sitting around $7 or $8 million forever. Obviously, the outlier was Adrian Peterson, who got that ridiculously huge deal. It drove up the franchise number, which then made Le'Veon Bell think that that was his starting point, right? I'm going to start at $14 million a year, and because I catch 90 to 100 passes a season, I'm also a wide receiver. I want to make 17, and so I'm sitting out a season until I get what I'm worth, right? And the reality is that didn't happen, right? So is important, I think, of a stance that Le'Veon Bell had sitting out last year on the second year of his franchise tag, which would have paid him $14.5 million to get what he thought he was worth. It didn't work out. He got a great signing bonus,
more than Gurley. He topped them there. People need to know that
$35 million guaranteed on a $52 million deal. So I mean, it's a big percentage of his contract.
Yep,
that's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only 17 that's not. So it's a huge percentage. That was guaranteed. However, it's kind of like a 2-year contract in some senses. And so at Le'Veon Bell at 29, which is a completely different story for running backs, if the Jets say, you know what, you didn't really work out the way we thought, and they cut him, mm-hmm. yeah, he made his money, mm-hmm. but now he's sitting in the same situation all over again.
He's sitting in the same situation.
So he rolled the dice, didn't really get aces, you know what I mean, or snake eyes. He still got paid.
He didn't get pocket aces.
Exactly.
Playing poker.
Exactly.
He had a hustle to make sure he won a few bucks.
But here's the thing: he still got a hustle.
Needed the flop to go in his favor.
Exactly. He still got a hustle if uh-huh. he wants to make real bucks.
Yeah.
Downstream. Uh-huh. Like he can't cash it in. Some of these deals mm-hmm. they happen, and you're like, okay, I'm good. Even if the back end doesn't work out, I'm okay.
Yeah.
That didn't work for him. So this gamble didn't necessarily work out, but he could find himself in a great situation because of the Jets, who seem to be a team on the come a little bit, especially offensively.
I think that, listen, the Jets have, certainly pertaining to the Jets, I almost never use this word, but the Jets have a superstar in Jamal Adams mm-hmm. on the third level. Jamal Adams is great.
Yep.
They have C.J. Mosley, who is ferocious against the run. He's a Mike guy with Greg Williams, verbalized, get guys in the right spot. Tremendous pickup. A little sloppy on the pass, but I hear you, but tremendous pickup. You've got Leonard Williams. Mm-hmm. You can wind up with Bosa. You can wind up with Quinnen Williams.
Oh, you're going to get another edge.
We're getting a horse up front. Now you have all of a sudden the framework of a team, and a team that, you know, should. I know the Bills made a couple of moves and, you know, brought in some players. The Pats, the champions, until those two guys are gone, they're still there. The Dolphins are really rebuilding, and the Dolphins should, be bad. But the Jets now have a profile that they rarely have. You know, they had it for a minute when, mm-hmm. when you were playing with Curtis Martin.
Yeah.
They had it for a minute with our buddy Bart Scott and those guys defensively, of course. And they brought in Fanica, Damian Woody. They made some savvy moves. They were obviously two games away in succession from getting to the Super Bowl. But this is the new model with a rookie quarterback in Mark Sanchez. This is the model. This is telling us, hey, no longer can we peg, which is the opposite of the Giants right now. We started with that, with mm-hmm. the Giants trade, of course, with Odell and the Browns. You can't pay a guy, I mean, you can, but it better be the guy, $25, $28, $30 million, and then believe that you're going to have everything built out around him.
Yeah.
You got to go for it when you have that quarterback on that rookie contract. And the Jets are going for it.
Yeah.
And
look,
I love it.
Look, it's what we saw with the Rams. The Rams spent all of all this money last year. It was obviously not on the quarterback. It was in everything else because that's the only time you can win. When mm-hmm. you start paying a quarterback 25, and hell, in a couple of years, it's going to be 28 or so, that's going to be like the baseline, the bottom line. It sucks up all the cap space. And so you have to be able to do it with the skill position players that are out there. Here's the question, BT. If Le'Veon Bell doesn't pan out.
Define pan out.
So let's say he doesn't elevate.
I'm not expecting 93 catches next year. I'm not.
Let's say he doesn't elevate.
He will. If he's healthy, he will.
I think
just
so.
Just by showing up on the field, he's going to.
But what if he doesn't?
Okay.
Right?
All right. Good.
What does this do for the running back, right, in the NFL? Because think about how they're stars. Running backs are stars, right? It's just my coach used to always tell me. Yeah, we talk about the quarterbacks. We talk about the wide receivers. But the bell cows are the stars. Mm-hmm. The guys who have to get, you know, 25 carries and in today's NFL, maybe get 6 or 7 to 8 to 10 passes a game. There's a value there that's just mm-hmm. never being appreciated. And, you know, I started with talking about how Le'Veon held out and he wanted to get a big number and it didn't happen. And if he doesn't pan out,
yep.
and then couple that with Todd Gurley having pre-arthritic knees
mm-hmm.
and after getting his big deal, and he might not see couple more years of that,
mm-hmm.
right? What happens to the running back? I mean, it's going to be turnover every single year, and it's frustrating to think about the position.
From your point of view, I totally get it.
It really is.
I hear you.
Because everything else is appreciated. Even safety's getting paid this year. Safeties are making $14 million
a
season.
You've long lamented this. I get it. I respect it. I understand it. My answer is, though, I don't want to say regardless of what Le'Veon Bell does for the Jets, but almost independent of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he completely bombs, I mean, that really changes the complex or the tone of the conversation. But
it's hard to sit out a year.
Number one, I think, to answer you directly, I think it dissuades any running back from ever sitting out because it didn't, even though he got the guarantee, like that was a play he tried, it didn't really work out for the most part. That's not going to happen much, I don't think. But the other thing it does is, you know, I just think it further illuminates the fact that there are players in this league right now who are legitimate superstars. Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. Once Kareem Hunt gets that suspension and gets back in the flow, think about what he was doing with Kansas City. You know, I believe that it's crept into every war room. You know, outside of the Giants who took Barkley too, yeah. But he's different, admittedly.
Christian McCaffrey's
another. He's different. McCaffrey is suddenly finding his rhythm. Good rookie year. Great second season with Carolina. I really think it depends on the situation. I hate to be evasive in the answer because I usually like to be more direct,
Think how that sucks.
It depends on...
For the position. Because a quarterback, you just got to be somewhat good. You got to show some promise. Yeah. And you're going to get paid.
Receivers generally get paid.
Same thing.
They're going to get paid,
you show
too.
Some promise. You have a couple, you know, you have a 1,200 or 1,300-yard season a couple years in a row. You're going to get paid on the thought that you're going to be good.
The ends never hit free agency because their teams aren't letting them go.
Never. It's the one position that if you have a good one, don't let them go.
Yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney, look, they got to franchise him, but they're going to work a long-term deal. He's not going anywhere.
Nope.
So running backs are –
It is what it is, T.
It is. I feel for him. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Hey.
But the point is, Le'Veon made a point to make a point, and he didn't make it.
He didn't. That cannot be ignored.
You're right.
I mean, a man still walked away with $35 million guaranteed. Who wouldn't sign up for that? Put your hand up. Everybody in this room certainly would. But – his play went a little sideways, admittedly. And, you know, there's a little residue on that plan that doesn't look good. That's going to be kind of a stain for we'll reference that forever.
Yeah.
Now, if he balls out and he markets himself in New York, which he obviously will, one thing, you know, as bad as the Giants theoretically should be this year and maybe next year, they've got a long rebuild. Saquon Barkley is going to be better, no matter, I mean, unless Le'Veon Bell just goes completely bonkers, Saquon is better. He's more talented.
Yeah, we could have a running back.
A little Curtis and Tiki days.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? A little Curtis and Tiki days. I know which one I like better. All right, let me play this for you real quick. This was back at Super Bowl 52 Minnesota. We had Le'Veon Bell on our set, Tiki and Tierney. February 2nd, 2018, we flash back a little more than a year ago. And he was asked about the Jets.
How much money?
When's your Jets press conference?
Go ahead, Tiki.
Hey, I would love that. Look, I live in Florham Park right where the Jets are. You come hang it up.
We've never had a play. Even as great as Curtis Martin was, he didn't have that kind of wiggle.
How much money is it going to take to make you a Steeler for the foreseeable future?
You always hear that number out loud.
Yeah, I do. Okay, they need to know.
By the way, I'm going to contribute to it. I don't have a lot here, man, but take the whole wallet, man. I got a few credit cards here. I'm not broke.
Man, I can't say that number out loud right now, man.
So that was Le'Veon, the first part. Me obviously being a goofball, desperate for an infusion of talent with my team. Then he expounded a little bit more. More from Le'Veon Bell. Same Tiki and Tierney, February 2, 2018. Just on his value in totality. Here he is.
Listen, I want to be a Steeler first, but listen, I know my values. And if I feel like if I hit the market, I can ask for way more than I'm asking for than the Steelers. I still feel like we get a home discount. Like,
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So like, it's not like I'm like, oh, this is my number. I want this. I won't go below it. It's like, I'll go below it because it's the Steelers. I want to keep everybody together. Like, I just want things to be right.
We just saw your boy over here, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. For guys like that, you know what I'm saying?
It's for guys like him. Until your franchise tag and a couple other guys, hey, you guys are still making what I made. Listen, and I've been 10 years out of the game.
You know, he's pulling down $4 million. What's up? Yeah. Public record.
Four or five mil. About six.
You get up to six?
Yeah, because of a little bit of a – they gave me a bonus. We're going to extend your contract. It's like, we're just going to give you an escalator.
They just gave you money?
They just gave me an escalator.
And is that like one big check? Or is it like spread out?
It was spread out over the course of a couple years.
But it still must be nice.
It was prorated as a bonus. It was given as a bonus. Mm-hmm. So it was prorated out. So it didn't really affect anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was cool.
They did the right thing by
it. They did.
All right.
They did.
Did Bryce Love do the right thing by going back to Stanford? We talk about the decline. At least we see what Bell got. Was looking for more, didn't get it. And you have to wonder, the future of the running back market, did Bryce Love do the right thing or the wrong thing going back for his final year at Stanford? We'll talk to him coming up next right here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want to find the right person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. They're based on skills and background, interests, activities, and passions, so you get a group of the most relevant qualified candidates for your role. That way, you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/tiki. That's linkedin.com/TIKI and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/tiki.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all. GEICO.com. I just asked the guys, and ponder this. There's no right or wrong answer, but I said, hey, what do you think Le'Veon Bell's ADP is next year going into a little fantasy? And Santer said top five. I said, I don't think he's going to go top five. I would say more, depending upon if you're in a 12-team, I'll say a 12-team league, I could see him going averaging around 13.1. I think he's going to be early second, late first.
Yeah.
If you're in a league that really knows how to draft.
Unless it's PPR, then you got to take him.
Absolutely. Look at you dropping that in.
I'm just saying.
You're absolutely right, too. Well done. Nice, man.
I just messed up your mind.
No, that was great. Well, you surprised me then. I mean, that was a nice insert right there. Well done. You going PPR? He might be 7, 8, or 9. Good call. Bryce Love. By the way, any time the league gets an infusion of more Stanford players,
yeah,
that's good.
Agreed.
Because they know they're well-adjusted, smart young men. They can ball. Bryce Love, he is getting ready for his next chapter. Former Stanford Cardinal running back, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Bryce, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys for having me on.
Thank you. We're excited. I've been excited to talk to you for a while, too, because I've been a fan from afar, and I know you had some injuries at the end of last season. So just to start, as you get ready to make this journey to the dream that we all as young kids dreamed of getting to, how you feeling?
I mean, it's just a blessing, you know, for lack of better words. I mean, just to be in the opportunity that I am and, you know, have the opportunity to do things like this and, you know, to go to the combine and, you know, to get drafted and play in the NFL, you know, kind of said it. And you know from experience, of course, you know, it's a dream.
Yeah,
and,
no.
You know, it's just a dream come true.
It always is. It really, and it's got to feel that way for you. I'm excited for you from afar. You went to the combine, but you didn't work out. You just did the interviews. You just talked with people, and I know those had to have gone smashingly. There's no way they couldn't, given your personality and your intelligence. But when are you going to work out? And what are they saying to you about your health?
Yeah. I mean, the goal for me in my mind is set on being ready for training camp. You know, beyond that, I mean, I was blessed, you know, I have Dr. Andrews do my surgery down in Pensacola. And, yeah, I mean, he's on a similar mindset as me. You know, I'm looking good. I'm progressing. And, you know, when my name is called, you know, I'll be ready to go.
It's a great attitude. And you said Dr. Andrews. Who worked up? I'm sorry.
James Andrews, yeah.
He's in the best hands.
Yeah.
He's in the best hands. Now, Bryce, I can't imagine, you know, maybe you can't even really get back to this place. You made the decision to go back to school. Obviously, great emphasis on academics. The talent's there. The NFL's going to be there. But you pursued something more important than football, which is incredibly admirable. But when you blow up your knee on your last play, are you having any regret? What is going through your mind at that moment when you got hurt?
Oh, yeah. Nah. My mind, you know, there was no regrets or anything. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I feel like I'm a better player from the experiences that I had my senior year. And the beauty of it is knees, you know, aren't what they used to be. And, you know, I'll be back from it 100%. And, you know, I'll be a better player from it. And, you know, I'm excited to get after it.
There you go. Love hearing that. Bryce Love is with us, former Cardinal running back Stanford, getting ready for the draft. And he's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Now, Bryce, you're rare because, and BT kind of alluded to this, you've played 4 years at a position that is full of attrition. Mm-hmm. And back in 2017, you rushed for 2,000 yards, which is, I mean, people talk about 2,000 yards. That's a grind to do, especially in a college football season. It's 13 games, not 16 games. And it's actually over 2,000. You were 2,100 yards, as my producer just reminded me. As you thought about, you know, maybe coming out after your junior year, and you decided to stay. This isn't about being injured, but what pushed you back into the game, even though you would have likely been a very high draft pick if you had come out after your junior year?
I mean, in my mind, it's just that competitive nature. You know, I was unsatisfied with, you know, how we had finished, you know, in the year before, losing in the Alamo Bowl, losing the Pac-12 championship. And from that, you know, I was just motivated to come back and help contribute to the team's success. You know, I feel like we, regardless of how the season ended up, you know, again, you know, I had the opportunity to play through it, and you know, I feel like we left a solid foundation. Us seniors, me, JJ, you know, Trent Irwin, everybody who's leaving out this year for the next group that's coming along. So,
you know, it sounds like you put team over self, and that's rare, especially in a game where running backs don't get a ton of respect on the next level. BT and I were just talking about that with Le'Veon Bell. He held out for all this money. He didn't really get it, even though he got a decent guarantee. Do you think that mentality is part of what makes you who you are, and will teams appreciate that?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I feel like, I said, the thing with me is, you know, I'm willing to put the team, you know, ahead of myself 10 out of 10 times. And, you know, I'm willing to do anything to help contribute to team success. You know, at the end of the day, I just want to win. You know, that's just the competitor that I am. And the ultimate goal, the reason why I play the game is, you know, I want to win and be the best version of myself to help the team win.
Yeah. Yeah, Bryce, let me ask you something. This is like off the football, you know, path here. Say, if you weren't a football player, if it never happened, what would you be?
Dag, probably a doctor for sure. If not a doctor, I'd probably be running track.
Yeah.
Sounds like Tinky. Tinky always said, although Tinky wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah, I did.
But he loved track. So you guys are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, do you love the game? Do you love football?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's been since I was a kid. I mean, I grew up in a football house. You know, that's what we did. That's what me and my brother did. You know, that's what we grew up around. And, you know, from that, it's just always been my first love.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you find the time, though? Because if you want to be a doctor, I'm sure you had to take some pre-med classes and think that, I mean, your academics had to become important to you. How'd you balance that? Because it's hard, man. In today's society, you get focused on a sport and it's just driving to that sport, drive that sport, drive that sport, drive that sport, and everything else kind of falls by the wayside. How'd you balance it?
Well, you know, I mean, I put it all back to, you know, how I was raised. You know, my parents, you know, instilled, you know, just time management and different things like that, and also just focus on education. So, you know, from that, you know, kind of just grew into what I became. And Stanford, you know, had all the opportunities to, you know, make you successful. You know, once you get in there, they don't want you to fail. So, you know, you have all the resources there, and just figuring out a way to balance your time and making a commitment to it and making it work.
Yeah, and it's working out for you. Injury aside, it takes a lot of resolve to get back to this point, which is not easy, I'm sure. It's Bryce Love, terrific running back, Stanford, great career. I'm curious, by the way, Bryce, how much have you leaned on your buddy Christian McCaffrey? Get the intel on the NFL.
I mean, a lot. You know, he's always sending good luck messages, and you know, we're always in contact here and there. And, you know, it's just good to see someone like him do well. And, you know, even before that, you know, learning from him at Stanford and seeing him carry on and obviously being successful in the league, you know, it makes you happy and it makes you smile, really.
Yeah, and his, you know, statistically, his jump from year one to year two, I mean, he was a monster this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christian McCaffrey was good as a rookie. Christian McCaffrey was great as a second-year player. What does he say about, you know, kind of, if anything, like the feeling-out process, how long it takes you to kind of get used to playing on Sundays rather than Saturdays? Because year two for him, he had a big spike.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just how he's always been, you know, understanding – specifically, the messages is always just, you know, knowing that it's a process, you know, learning and growing through each rep, and, you know, really take advantage of the playbook and understanding that this is, you know, this is your job. You know, take it seriously. You know, you love it. You're passionate about it. So truly give everything you can for it, you know, work for it and all that good stuff. And, you know, the things will fall into place.
Yeah. No, I got to tell you, Bryce, you remind me a lot of myself when I was coming out of school. Obviously, you're at Stanford and Virginia are similar academically. Stanford may be a little bit better. You're my same. You're the same size.
The rare acknowledgement by Tiki.
Stanford's a great school.
Oh,
it is what it is. You know, you're exactly my size, 5'10", 203 pounds, at least when I was playing. I'm not 203 pounds now. What kind of career do you think you're going to have? Right? Can you be an every down back in the NFL? Can you be a guy that pounds it for 20 times, but also catches a lot of passes out of the backfield? Because that's what the game is demanding of the position these days.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one of the big things I feel like I was able to showcase my team is being able to catch more out of the backfield and being able to show leaps and bounds improvements in terms of pass protection. And on top of, you know, all the carries and stuff like that, you know, I was able to make it work, you know, and, you know, I wasn't really out there missing, you know, a lot of assignments, you know, knowing your role, knowing your assignment. And, I mean, just taking advantage of it.
Well, listen, you are about to embark on something that's going to be all over the map roller coaster. You think you're going here, then you think you're going there, then you think you're going here. But it's going to be fun to watch the journey. Good to have you back on the show. Tiki, you know, to reiterate, Tiki always raves about you. And you're obviously somebody easy to root for, doing the right thing on and off the field. Nice having you back on the show, Bryce.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate it. You know, I've been a big fan of Mr. Barber for a long time, but no, I definitely appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you. You make me feel old calling me Mr. Barber. That's my dad.
The OG.
That's my dad.
The OG.
good luck, Bryce. I'm sure we'll connect down the line, and then we'll catch up at some point.
All right, yeah. Thank you again. Have a good one.
Be good.
Good stuff. He is a gem of a young man.
Yeah, he is. He shares gem. AJ's birthday, by the way.
Does he really?
I just noticed that. I'm looking at his wiki page. July 8th.
Is he 21 yet? Did he turn 21?
He'll be 29.
No,
22 this year.
Okay.
97 okay. He was born in. So
hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Obviously, Teak and I have done this for years in terms of really starting to dive into the draft pool here.
Yeah.
You know, we had DeAndre Baker on last week. We had Devin Bush on last week. We just heard from Bryce Love. Quinnen Williams tomorrow, even though Tiki is out. But and we'll be at the draft. We'll be in Nashville, Tennessee for 2 days.
That's going to be fun.
That is going to be terrific.
Because we haven't done
that.
Haven't done that.
No, I've been to a few NFL drafts in New York locally.
I did it for Yahoo
Yahoo.
Years ago, but it was different. It wasn't like a radio show.
I like this better because Radio City Music Hall was like, well, it was like too stuffy. They made this into like a party.
No,
like
you were
a
like
fan
in the basement.
And
I remember being in the basement at Radio City. Just like they would bring the guys down. Yep. Maybe they would want to come see you.
The
but
bowels
really.
Of the of Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. We're going to be in Nashville. We'll do our show Thursday the 25th and Friday the 26th from Nashville. Wrangler is sponsoring it. It's a huge thing. Westwood One, we're pumped to be going. So that's coming up. But, of course, Tiki and I will be at the Final Four as well. So our travel calendar is getting a little bit booked up, and it's all good. We're still waiting for that Masters invitation.
I'm telling you, right? I mean,
maybe we can get one of those one of these years.
Fuzio's doing an event at Masters.
Who is?
Fuzio.
This year?
Is doing an event.
Well, like, why aren't you going?
We might have to find a way to go. I'm just saying.
I don't think you just find a way to go. You got to like really the seeds.
No, but
to go to the Masters.
We got to get the radio show there. My company's doing an event, but we're doing. We should find a way to do the radio.
I would
show.
Do anything to do that. I have to go to Augusta.
You've never been, right?
No, never been to Augusta.
I went once, and it was the year it was rained out. But as we talked about, it was cool because I met Freddie Couples.
That's right.
And Joe LaCava, who's
that's
now
right.
Tiger's caddy.
Big Giants fan, Joe.
Huge Giants fan.
Work on that, man. I mean, that's something we could always audible, and we could always squeeze that in.
I got to ask about it last week.
Well, now you do the asking and get the right answer. Axe Update is coming up, and then we'll do a little inbounds and out of bounds right after Rich Ackerman, who comes at you right now, all the college hoop scores. Here's Axe. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Spence Jr. versus Garcia coming up this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206, 855-212-4227. Top of the hour, so next segment, 20 minutes from now, Tiki and I are going to get back to the phones, the Beckham stuff from the Giants angle, the Beckham stuff from the Browns angle, and then obviously Le'Veon Bell branch into the Ravens, who had a pretty good day as well.
Yeah, they did.
Got Mark Ingram, got more importantly, I would imagine, Earl Thomas, big money for the safety, still
that's
has
why
it.
They let Eric Weddle go, so
that's
they
right.
replaced it. It'll be interesting to see in New Orleans, BT, what Alvin Kamara now does as really the only guy. I mean, I forget who the backup is now. There's a young kid, but he's got to carry the load now, Kamara, which is something he hasn't always had to do.
They could draft somebody mid-rounds, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
But I hear you. But
it's
something to keep an eye on.
That combo was powerful.
No doubt about it.
Years there.
Different styles, too.
You're right.
Complimented each other very well.
Oh, Latavius Murray. That's who they signed.
Oh, yeah. They did sign Latavius Murray. That's right.
It makes sense.
By the way, Quinnen Williams tomorrow. Bryce Love is just such a good kid.
I love that kid. I love his game. I love his attitude.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just wonder how much money he lost with that injury.
Human biology major.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
You're right. If he had come out last year, would he have been a?
To be fair, and Mike's right. The time to jump if he was all football and willing to sacrifice graduating and maybe pursuing a medical career down the road, I should say. Stanford students are generally a little bit different, which is a great thing. The year before was
because even before
he ripped up his knee, to be fair, his numbers were down.
Yeah.
His numbers were down.
And it was interesting, too, because I don't know if there was something that they weren't, like, telling people about, but he was held out of a game.
Was that the Washington State game?
Yeah, he was held
out of a Friday night game, I feel.
Yeah, you're right.
Could have been a Friday night special,
because I wanted to watch
it.
I don't know if you picked that.
You
did pick a lot of them, and you picked a lot of them right for a while.
2 years ago, I hit 9 in a row. Yeah. Then I got a little heavy, and I got a little sloppy
with
that.
I think he was banged up early in the season, but they didn't really say anything.
And he kind of
grinded
through it.
You don't just hang out. You don't pull like your star out of the game. It was weird.
No,
what they were doing out there. But I love the kid. And I think he'll be successful no matter, even if he has a 2-year NFL career.
No doubt about it.
He's going to be successful.
Could be the next Robert Smith.
Yeah, you're right.
Played, retired early. You know, obviously Robert's doing TV, but he wanted to. I don't think, did he ever get his medical
degree?
I didn't think he did. But that was actually part of his path for a while.
Yeah, but I know he's got a business that's centered around the medical profession.
Okay.
Maybe on the insurance side, but he didn't completely abandon it because that's why he left the game. He wanted to do it.
Retired early, 31.
Yeah,
he was a really good player. Robert Smith was good for the Vikings.
I think he retired the year before I did, too.
Sounds about right. I mean, he put up some big numbers. All right, let's go inbounds, out of bounds. Here it is, D-Cell. Hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, let's do it. Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray seemed to silence some critics at the combine after his height, weight, and hand size all came back higher than expected. However, some conspiracy theorists questioned his 5'10 height measurement, 5'10 and 1/8 to be precise.
Yes.
With some believing he could have spent time in a zero-gravity chamber.
Come on.
I'm just reading what's in front of me. Now, Heightgate took a new twist as Murray refused to get measured at his pro day today.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. He refused measurement, okay? In or out, any team thinking of drafting Murray must get an independent height measurement before selecting
him. Out of bounds. And by the way, Sam, if you find any updates on how the Oklahoma Pro Day is going, let us know because we care about how Kyler Murray throws the football. This is out of bounds, BT, because look, we know he's short, so whether he's 5'9 and 3/8 or 5'10 and 1/8, it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a baller, and he also is refusing to not to run the 40. So do we really care if he runs a 4.3 or a 4.4 quarterback? Not really. I want to see if Kyler Murray can throw the ball. We'll get a bigger update or a greater update on that after his pro day that's concluded, or maybe we'll get an update while we're still on air here. But I'm saying out of bounds to this. I don't care how tall he is.
I'm saying out of bounds as well. You and I have stood next to him. We've taken pictures with him. Again, if it was Spud Webb, it's Bugsy Bogues, I wanted to take a pass here. It's negligible. Again, 2/8, 1/8. Who the hell cares? Can you play football?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. If you're inclined to draft him at 5'10 and 1/8, why wouldn't you take him at 5'9 and 3/4?
Yeah.
Totally with you. One thing I did notice, I think I said this to Sam, we were knocking it around before the show. I was watching some of his throws. He was wearing these like super high, like 1970 shorts.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was trying to show some extra flesh to like make the legs look visually a little longer, like elongate his body.
That's funny.
He can play football. Now, he's not everybody's cup of tea. And if I'm going number one, I'm not taking him one. Not because of the height. I just wouldn't take him number one. I like Haskins a little bit better personally.
If you were taking a quarterback.
If I was taking a quarterback, that's what I mean.
But if you're Cliffy.
Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliffy Kingsbury.
Uncle Spliffy.
I was waiting for you to throw that in there.
You got to take the guy
that fits your offense.
You got to take him.
By the way, Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network said he looked tremendous and had great arm talent at his pro day.
There you go.
A-plus arm talent.
A-plus arm talent.
Yeah, that's saying
okay.
A lot.
Okay.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, moving on here, Teek. Despite playing in 13 games this season, Rob Gronkowski totaled just 47 catches, under 700 yards. Now, Gronk has said he's going to take a little time before he decides if he'll play next season. Former Pats, 3-time Super Bowl champion, current analyst on the NFL Network. I think he does a good job. Willie McGinnis has a unique plan for Gronk.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And I think later on, and this is just my own assessment, later on, deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape. And he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back. And
like a
football.
Jason Witten kind of thing? Like take a not full year off?
Not a full year.
Okay, wow. There you go. Willie McGinnis drawing up a pretty interesting plan.
Okay,
so,
Willie.
In or out, Slick Willie says that. What do we say? Rob Gronkowski should skip training camp and at least the first 6 weeks of the season to preserve his body.
Out of bounds, man. Either do it or don't do it. I can understand skipping training camp. Michael Strahan did that at the end, and it worked out for him. He had a pretty good season his last one and won a Super Bowl. But skip a season and then go like six to eight weeks in before you decide to – no, you can't do that.
This
out of bounds.
Weird. You know, you could probably do it for a different team.
Yeah.
I don't think that Belichick would want this to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You're either all in or you're not.
You're right.
You know? Would it preserve his body? Sure, in theory. Did he play better down the stretch? Yep, made the big play against Kansas City down to the 3 of the 4, no doubt. But this is a little wacky. Original thought by Willie, so I'll give him points on that. I don't see it happen. I'm with you, Tiki. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, but a big day here in New York, and my favorite owner, James Dolan. he's the best, isn't he? James Dolan's at it again. Now, the Knicks owner joined a local New York radio show yesterday discussing the viral video of him him banning the fan for telling him to sell the team. Now, aside from saying he wouldn't sell the team, Dolan went on the offensive against the fan. Quote, "We have video which shows them moving from one side of the arena to the other to set up this ambush," as he describes it. "As soon as they were done with it," this is still the quote, "it was immediately sold to TMZ," end quote. Over the past 20 years under Dolan, the Knicks have the worst win percentage in the NBA. Oh, God. In or out, at some point, the NBA should step in and force Dolan to sell.
Unfortunately, this is out of bounds. You can't force a guy out just because he sucks as an owner.
Because he's incompetent?
And his team is terrible. That's interesting new development, though, that the guys who did this kind of set them up and moved around the arena. And
ambush?
And then
come
sold
on.
It for how much money, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, in that context, I might agree with James Dolan here, even though I still say out of bounds. Okay. And NBA can't force him to sell.
I agree. You know, if there's a phone conversation like Sterling, you got to go. If there's some unsavory business dealings, you got to go. But just because your team sucks, unfortunately, that's not a license to take the team from you. Trust me, I wish it were. And I hope this doesn't dissuade Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving from coming home and playing for the Knicks. I don't think it will. But no, I mean, I have to be fair. I have to be fair to Dolan, or at least the role of ownership in the NBA. You have to quote unquote, earn the right to lose it. He loses games, but he hasn't earned the right to lose his franchise with all... In all honesty, unfortunately.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Tig. Baseball, considering various rules changes of late, including universal DH, as we know, the pitch clock, a minimum number of batters faced for relievers, which is the dopiest thing I've ever heard in my life, at least three. Although the end of the inning, that would actually hit reset. So he could face one batter in theory in the eighth and not have to come out for two more in the ninth. Some people got that wrong. And now a modification to the trade deadline. Before there were technically two deadlines, one non-waiver deadline for straight trades in July, and then a waiver wire deadline in August where players had to clear before they could be dealt. This happened with Justin Verlander last second, about 8 minutes to go, by the way, before the deadline in 2017. Now, the proposal would consolidate the deadline to just one date, that would be July 31, and eliminate the waiver wire deadline, in or out. Eliminating the waiver wire deadline is inbounds or out of bounds?
I'm going to say out of bounds because it's a month later.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, you don't want the waiver wire deadline was put in so that people just wouldn't dump salaries when they're officially fully out of it. And then you get guys, good players going to teams to help them win championships. And this is more your cup of tea, but I'm going to say out of bounds. I like the two. That are there. One, whereas there's no repercussion, and the second one, where you got to let them clear waivers and then pull them back.
Okay. I'm just going to avoid the geeky approach here and probably bore most people if I did that. I'm just going to take the lower-hanging fruit. My answer is inbounds. Mm. It's about eyeballs. It's about clicks. It's about generating interest here. You consolidate, and it becomes one universal day where if you want to make a move, and here's the other thing. The enticement for – you've got to make a decision early. You could be a contender – and those extra couple of weeks from the second, you know, would determine whether or not you make a move. You'll get a lot more action, and because it's one day, you'll get a lot more attention to that one day. People would really react to it. I think it would actually, you know, that doesn't really permeate radio, the MLB trade deadline, unless it's a big one, unlike the NBA or the NFL. But this could be a nice step in that direction. I don't think it would ever hit that level clearly, but I think it would be good for the profile of baseball. I think to consolidate, I think it makes a lot of sense, actually. I was saying bounce. Let's see here. Wow, 2 hours already.
Quick.
Flying. Want to get more calls coming up?
Yeah, let's.
We have a lot of things to hear from. We want to react to more stuff. Bell, Beckham, Giants, Browns. 855-212-4227. We'll bring them up coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.